Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Good morning. Breaking overnight, back in business. The U.S. set to reopen the Canada and Mexico borders for the first time in nearly 2 years to fully vaccinated travelers only. And the White House puts the nation's governors on alert. Begin preparing for the vaccine rollout for young children in a matter of weeks. We'll have the very latest. Countdown to history. Final preparations and checks underway for this morning's Blue Origin launch, set to make William Shatner the oldest person ever in space.
The thing I really want to do is come back down.
Straight ahead, we're live at the launch site with extraordinary access to the 90-year-old star's final frontier. New clues, the results of Gabby Petito's autopsy revealed.
The cause, death by strangulation, and manner is homicide.
But this morning, the coroner's report also raising several unanswered questions in the case, and the manhunt for Brian Laundrie drags into its fifth week. Shaking it up, this morning the FDA announcing a new push to reduce the amount of salt in many of the popular foods Americans eat every day.
Excess sodium in people's diet in this country, from toddlers on up, is causing disease and poor health.
What it means for you and your family. Those stories plus growing fallout. Former NFL coach John Gruden losing endorsements and removed from one team's Ring of Honor, while the league faces mounting calls to release more of the emails that led to his resignation. Today, Wednesday, October 13th, 2021.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb. Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Today. Nice to have you with us smack dab in the middle of the week.
All eyes are focused right now on Texas. Just a few hours from now, that Blue Origin space capsule will be lifting off.
It's its second manned flight, and this time carrying none other than Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner, a member of the crew. And we've got Tom Costello there in position live to report on it all.
Plus, we have some breaking news right now from the FDA. New guidelines slashing the amount of salt in foods, and they could impact nearly everything you eat. We'll have exclusive details straight ahead.
But we begin with that overnight news from Washington. The U.S. set to announce plans to reopen the borders with Canada and Mexico, but only to certain travelers. NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer with the details this morning. Hi, Miguel. Good morning.
Savannah, good morning. Our nation's borders to the north and south will soon be back in business, but travelers will be required to prove they're vaccinated. Another safety measure in place amid a push to vaccinate more people here in the U.S. as well.
This morning, America's signaling it's open for business from across the border again. The White House says it'll lift a 19-month ban for foreign travelers crossing land borders from both Canada and Mexico, but only for visitors who can prove they're fully vaccinated. The announcement paving the way for non-essential purposes, including separated families and tourists, to breathe life into border economies struggling due to COVID restrictions. This comes as 28 million children, 5 to 11 years old, could be getting shots into arms as early as November. That according to a call Tuesday between the White House and the nation's governors, with White House officials telling states to start preparing to vaccinate kids.
I think all indications are hopefully once the FDA completes its work that we'll see vaccine in kids after Halloween.
With advisory committees for the FDA and CDC set to weigh in on pediatric vaccines in the next 3 weeks, the FDA could also clear the way for the first boosters for adults from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. Moderna releasing data urging the FDA to authorize a half dose of its vaccine as a booster 6 months after the second dose. The FDA's advisory panel set to discuss those findings later this week. But even as attention shifts to whether boosters are needed, the FDA's acting commissioner tells NBC News the vaccines are working and they remain focused on the unvaccinated.
It's more important than boosters. The current vaccines are protecting most people from hospitalization and death, the really bad outcomes.
The government believes vaccine mandates may be a path to reaching those unvaccinated. They've met resistance in some areas, including Texas, where the governor has banned all mandates. In New York, a high-profile basketball battle, as the NBA's Brooklyn Nets announce that once the season starts, they'll play and practice without star player Kyrie Irving after his refusal to comply with New York's vaccine mandate.
He has a choice to make, and he made his choice.
And Miguel, of course, this is all coming back, and the backdrop is what's happening in Texas. The state's decision to ban vaccine mandates, how is that playing out? A lot of big companies are headquartered in Texas.
That's right, Savannah. Texas is home to some of the nation's biggest companies. Many, including American Airlines, has said it has its own mandate, saying they believe that federal law supersedes the governor's order. The Biden administration has also weighed in and pushed back on Governor Abbott's executive order, which seems certain to face legal challenges. Savannah.
All right, Miguel Almaguer with the latest COVID headlines. Thank you.
Let's move now to the excitement in Texas this morning. That's where Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin space capsule, scheduled for liftoff for its second manned flight. It's an historic launch that will make Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner, the oldest person ever to reach space. NBC's Tom Costello has been waiting for this one. He's covering it live from inside the hangar at the launch site in Texas. Hey, Tom, morning.
Hey, Hoda, good morning to you. So this is the simulator that Shatner and the others have been training in, an exact replica of the spaceship that will carry them into space later today. The journey will last only 11 minutes, but you might say this is a mission that Captain Kirk has been prepping for his whole life. If Jeff Bezos and his Blue Origin team had hoped to generate even more buzz than their successful first flight, who better for that mission than the man who played the iconic Captain Kirk? Is there anything special you want to do to kind of pay tribute to all of those years playing Captain Kirk?
The thing I really want to do is come back down.
90-year-old William Shatner, today joining Blue Origin executive Audrey Powers and two customers who reportedly paid $250,000 each, Glenn DeVries and Chris Bosshausen.
Star Trek was always such a positive vision for the future, so I can't think of a better ambassador for what we're trying to create here than Mr. Shatner.
Last night, we got our first glimpse ever of the astronaut village, where guests who pay to fly cool their jets before liftoff, including a kitchen, the Karman Line bar, and personal accommodations lined up on the perimeter.
Each one of the astronauts stays in these Airstream suites, all of them named after former Mercury astronauts.
Inside, it's small but luxurious for the big spenders who stay here. Bezos' Blue Origin is jockeying for a dominant position in the new space tourism business, along with Elon Musk's SpaceX, which last month sent four passengers into orbit for 3 days, and Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic, which made its first suborbital flight in July. But right now, this view is for high rollers only, though Bezos and Branson say they hope to make it more widely available in the future.
Ultimately, the price will come down to a level where an awful lot of people will be able to do it.
Here in West Texas, high winds postponed the launch day by a day, but did nothing to dampen the spirits of the four astronauts-to-be, who spent the extra time training for the sensation of weightlessness.
You ready, Bill?
I am so ready. I'm thinking of, like, jumping out of the capsule and the apogee.
55 years after his debut on Star Trek, Shatner and the others now head to the edge of their final frontier in real life.
So inside the spaceship itself, this is what it looks like, and these are the seats that they sit in. Look at the size of the windows here, Hoda. A magnificent view of the Earth, the curvature of the Earth, the blackness of space. It really is quite a ride, even if it just lasts 11 minutes. Back to you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Tom, lucky you, man. You got to hang out with Jeff Bezos, with William Shatner right before this launch. Does William Shatner have butterflies? How's he doing?
He has admitted on the record and in conversations that, yeah, he's nervous about this. And I said, wait a minute, you battled Romulans and Klingons and the evil Khan. Yeah, but this is real stuff. And so he's a little nervous.
Well,
like he said.
You know what's going to be a side benefit is Hoda will finally learn the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars.
Well, you know what? I don't know if it'll be clear even after this. Thank you, Tom.
Tom.
Yeah, stick around. We're going to do a lot more throughout the morning. Right. We're going to have live coverage of that launch coming up after 10.
Pretty cool. Meanwhile, after 5 days of cancellations and delays, Southwest Airlines is inching back to more normal operations. And the airline CEO is once again denying claims that this disruption was caused by the staff protesting the company's vaccine requirement. NBC's Kerry Sanders is at Fort Lauderdale International Airport with the latest on it. Kerry, good morning.
Well, good morning. Here at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, Southwest shows that all of its 40 flights are now scheduled to depart on time. Nationwide, FlightAware.com shows 86 Southwest flights delayed this morning, 15 canceled. But that is a sharp decline in what passengers have had to endure for the past week now. This morning, Southwest CEO says most of their crews are now finally in position to resume normal flight operations. This after a nightmarish holiday weekend for customers wondering what went wrong.
It was just one thing after another after another.
Southwest blames bad weather in Florida as the critical trigger to the massive disruptions. What happened to Southwest more acute than impacts at other airlines.
Because they don't have hubs with extra planes laying around that are one flight away, if there is a cancellation, the cascading effects of any operational inefficiency simply get out of control.
The pilots' union says the more than 2,400 canceled flights had nothing to do with pilots protesting the federal vaccine mandate, which the airline said it would be following shortly before the trouble began. Southwest CEO defending the mandate.
The objective here, obviously, is to improve health and safety, not for people to lose their job. That's not what was at issue with Southwest over the weekend.
Still, on Tuesday, continued problems. More than 90 cancellations and 1,200-plus delays. That's over 35% of the airline's scheduled flights. Since the cancellations began, Southwest has repeatedly apologized, telling NBC News they're offering all affected customers the option to rebook without cost.
Our flight was canceled.
But nurse Sarah Bausma says it's too little too late. After two canceled Southwest flights and a hospital shift she could not skip, Sarah rented a car and drove her family with a hotel stay from Orlando to Nashville.
The average family can't just spend $2,000 unexpectedly to get home. But that's what I had to do, and that's what thousands of other people had to do also.
Southwest passengers who had canceled flights are due refunds under federal law. That is giving you your money back. You do not have to accept a voucher. Meantime, Southwest Airlines says that it will work with passengers who can document they had to rent cars, get hotel rooms, and the airline is now promising that things will be smoother as we head into the holidays. Savannah?
A big unexpected expense for a lot of folks, Kerry. Thank you.
All right. We have a lot more to get to, including some big news from the FDA. Tom joins us now. Craig's on assignment. Hey, Tom. Morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you. That's right. This just in, the FDA is out with new recommendations aimed at tackling some serious health problems. NBC senior Washington correspondent Hallie Jackson joins us now with the details and her exclusive interview with the FDA's acting commissioner. Hallie, good morning.
Hey, Tom, good morning to you. You know, heart disease is the leading cause of death in this country and disproportionately affects communities of color. Too much salt can be a big factor in hypertension, which can lead to heart disease. But sometimes salt seems unavoidable in a lot of packaged and prepared food. Well, now the FDA today is taking a huge step that's been years in the making. New guidelines for less sodium and, they hope, better health.
A major move new this morning from the FDA to slash salt in what you buy at the grocery store or eat at restaurants.
It's the excess sodium in people's diet in this country from toddlers on up is causing disease and poor health. We believe that sodium can be reduced in a way that people will hardly notice.
Americans should consume about 2,300 milligrams of sodium each day. That's about a teaspoon of salt. Right now, most of us eat way more than that, 3,400 milligrams on average. But the FDA's new guidelines for processed, packaged, and prepared foods hopes to lower that number to 3,000 milligrams a day over the next 2.5 years. That would cut out the equivalent of 60 teaspoons of salt per person every year.
Most of the sodium does not come from a salt shaker. It comes from the food, the processed food people are eating, the restaurant meals they're consuming. And there's no way you can take it out of that tomato sauce or that salad dressing. It's already in there.
Do you think people will notice a difference in how their food tastes?
If we do it gradually, I think it'll be acceptable.
Doctors, unanimous. Less sodium means less hypertension and less heart disease.
The move by the FDA is a great leap forward. In public health, we believe in prevention.
The new recommendations, aimed at more than 160 categories for food manufacturers, restaurants, and food service operators, from dairy to bread to baby food. The National Restaurant Association telling NBC, while we are hopeful the guidance incorporates our suggestions, the restaurant industry continues to provide options to address customers' desires and health needs. Other food industry groups have questioned the expense.
For certain foods, it may be very challenging. For many foods, it may not be that technically difficult. It may be expensive, but it is nowhere near the toll that's taking on the American public in terms of disease.
Well, Hallie, these are guidelines. They're not requirements. So,
right.
I mean, the FDA can't enforce it. Do they think companies will comply?
Right. It's totally voluntary, Savannah. You're right. And listen, the FDA is optimistic, but we'll see, right? Some big international companies are already lowering sodium to comply with recommendations in other countries. And ultimately, the FDA believes people, like consumers, want healthier food. That's what it's driven by. The idea being, do this very slowly, gradually, over many years, so that all of our taste buds adjust, and you may not even really notice that the food you're eating is less salty. Again, this is something that has been years in the works. Savannah.
All right, Hallie, thank you.
Oh,
now the
yes.
salt on our meal,
yes.
Al
salt
Roker.
Bay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, Mr. Roker.
Hey. Well, unfortunately, we've got some severe weather to talk about. This is Sharon Springs, Kansas, western Kansas. Tornadoes being reported there, and we've got another line. More severe weather that's going to be affecting parts of the midsection of the country. In fact, through the south, from San Antonio to Dallas, we've got severe thunderstorm watches, I should say flash flood watches, flash flood warnings for 12 million people, and a lot of moisture now coming up out of Mexico. And along this front, we've got strong storms from St. Joseph to Oklahoma City. And in fact, Hurricane Pamela right now, it's 80 miles west-southwest of Mazatlan, Mexico. It's moving northeast at 14, and the moisture from Pamela is going to come up through Mexico and interact with this front, and that's going to funnel all this moisture eastward. We're talking rainfall rates 1 to 3 inches per hour later tonight into tomorrow as that makes its way into the Midwest. Strong storms and showers making their way into the Mississippi River Valley. Locally, heavy rain possible. Look at it. We're talking about some places in central Texas, 5 to 8 inches of rain. And on the backside of this system, we've got blizzard warnings for southeastern Wyoming. Some places picking up to 8 inches of snow, and that is going to mean for some early skiing for some folks. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Still ahead this morning, new details and discoveries in the Gabby Petito case. What the coroner is now revealing about the cause of her death and when she was killed as the manhunt for her fiancé enters its fifth week.
Plus, the growing fallout in the wake of John Gruden's resignation as head coach of the Raiders. This morning, the endorsements, the honors he's now losing, and the calls for the NFL to share more about those inflammatory emails that led to his downfall. But first, this is Today on NBC.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Today. Jimmy Fallon's toast to Daniel Craig last night. Martinis, of course, for the star's 15-year run as James Bond. Craig saying goodbye to the legendary role with Friday's release of No Time to Die. And we're excited for a bunch of reasons, but Jimmy's coming here.
Yeah.
He's coming across
looking
the street. He woke up early, set the alarm.
He
joining
did.
Us.
He's got two shows to tell us about, actually. Mm-hmm. Let's get started with our headlines here at 7:30 Wednesday morning. The House voted yesterday to pass a short-term increase to the debt ceiling. That vote ensures the federal government can continue fully paying its bills into December. Next, the legislation goes to President Biden's desk to be signed into law. Congress will have to revisit this issue again in December, though. Republicans promising that Democrats will have to lift the cap without their help.
The Maryland couple charged in a plot to sell U.S. submarine secrets to a foreign government will remain in jail for now. Jonathan and Diana Toby made a brief appearance in federal court yesterday in West Virginia. A judge ordered them held pending a detention hearing on Friday. The Navy nuclear engineer and his wife were accused of selling sensitive information about nuclear-powered submarines to an undercover FBI agent. Officials say they passed along secrets through memory cards hidden in peanut butter sandwiches and gum packages.
Well, also this morning, we're continuing to follow new developments in the Gabby Petito case.
We are. The 22-year-old's disappearance and death has attracted nationwide attention. And now, weeks after her body was discovered, a Wyoming coroner is releasing long-awaited autopsy results. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren joins us now with the very latest. Hey, Kristen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, this is a case that has touched so many people. And this morning, we now know that Gabby Petito was strangled, but there are many questions that remain.
This morning, new details in the death of Gabby Petito, the Teton County coroner revealing how she died.
We hereby find the cause and manner of death to be the cause death by strangulation and manner is homicide.
The official report noting her cause of death as manual strangulation or throttling. The coroner says they believe Petito died 3 to 4 weeks before her body was found in the Wyoming wilderness in September. The timeline would put the 22-year-old's death somewhere around the last week of August.
In a situation like this, nothing is obvious. And so the cause of death required investigation.
Per Wyoming statute, the coroner could not release more specifics about the autopsy findings, but he did say Petito was not pregnant. Petito's boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, has been a person of interest in Petito's disappearance after returning home to Florida alone following the couple's road trip. Laundrie was last seen in mid-September, vanishing after his parents said he went hiking in a nearby nature reserve. On August 12th, Moab police stopped Petito and Laundrie after reports of a domestic dispute. Charges were never filed in the incident, but Laundrie is facing fraud charges for unauthorized use of a debit card. An attorney for Laundrie noting in a statement, while Brian Laundrie is currently charged with the unauthorized use of a debit card belonging to Gabby, Brian is only considered a person of interest in relation to Gabby Petito's demise. The case has captured the attention of the nation, and memorials for Gabby continue to grow. Petito's mother and stepfather visiting one in their hometown late Tuesday, as the quest for answers and for justice continues.
Now, the coroner sidestepped questions about who might be responsible for the death, but he did make one comment that has a lot of people talking this morning. When talking about media attention, he said, this is only one of many deaths around the country of people who were involved in domestic violence, a clear reference to physical violence with a partner. Brian Laundry this morning remains a person of interest in the case. Hoda?
All right, Kristen Dahlgren for us. Kristen, thank you.
Okay, up next, was the resignation of John Gruden just the beginning of a larger reckoning within the NFL?
This morning, why his troubling emails are leading to new demands for more transparency and change. But first, these messages.
Back now, 7:39 this morning on In Depth Today. New fallout in the wake of John Gruden's stunning fall from grace.
Yeah, his resignation as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders triggered by leaked emails filled with racist, homophobic, and misogynistic language. But some in the league are now asking, is there more to the story?
NBC's Steve Patterson is in Los Angeles for us. Steve, good morning.
Tom, guys, good morning. The conversation around John Gruden is intensifying as voices across the league join a chorus of opinions about his resignation. Meanwhile, there is a growing call for the NFL to shed more light on the more than 650,000 emails attached to the investigation that all led to this. There are concerns that Gruden's controversy is just the tip of the iceberg.
On the heels of a stunning announcement,
John Gruden, out. As Las Vegas Raiders head coach.
This morning, reaction to John Gruden's swift resignation as head coach of the Raiders reaching a fever pitch.
John Gruden's career is over. It's over.
Gruden's sudden exit coming hours after a New York Times report detailed emails he wrote over the course of nearly a decade that included sexist, racist, and homophobic language aimed at various targets, ranging from players to league officials. The NFL slamming Gruden's comments as appalling. Gruden has denied he was racist, and in his statement, the 58-year-old apologized, writing in part, "I'm sorry, I never meant to hurt anyone."
We need to allow people to grow and change, you know, but those opinions, you know, don't have a place in the game.
The emails, confirmed by the NFL but not reviewed by NBC News, were discovered during an NFL workplace misconduct investigation into the Washington football team while Gruden was an analyst for ESPN. Just last week, it was learned Gruden used a racist trope to describe NFL Players Union Chief Demoris Smith in a 2011 message, writing, "Demoris Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires." In a new interview with USA Today, Smith saying in part, "It simply confirms that people are still looking at you and saying things about you to your face that you know are substantially different from the way they characterize you or caricaturize you behind your back." Many are calling for transparency in the NFL, saying Gruden's emails account for a fraction of the more than 650,000 emails that were part of an investigation not focused on him.
You've got 650,000 emails. You've got no written report. There are going to continue to be calls for the NFL to apply full transparency.
On the field and off it, Gruden became a bankable star. Now that star has fallen, leaving a trail of questions over the direction of the league he leaves behind.
And Steve, you reported they're looking at more than 650,000 emails. So what's next here? Will we see any more of those emails from the NFL?
Well, here's the deal, Tom. As mentioned, the calls to release some or more of those 650,000 emails are continuing. The Gruden emails were flagged to the leaks commissioner after senior NFL executives read them during that larger investigation. As to the rest, we may not be seeing them anytime soon. This morning, the NFL tells us the original investigation into the Washington football team's culture is complete and it will not be providing any more details. Guys, back to you.
All right, Steve, thank you for that.
All right, let us switch gears and talk to Mr. Ogre. You got to check in the weather.
We do, and also look at, this is just in from the National Hurricane Center, I should say the National Weather Service, and we've got the 2021 billion-dollar weather and climate disasters so far and weather disasters. We're up to 18 this year from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast. This is the second highest number of billion-dollar weather events, 18 of them. Last year was number one at 22, and 2021 is the fourth costliest year on record. In fact, Hurricane Ida, $65 billion. That's the fifth most costly weather disaster ever on record. We've got cold air coming into the west. Look at this. Reno, 13 degrees below average at 59. Salt Lake, 50. Helena, 48 degrees. Casper, Wyoming, 25 degrees below average. But here in the east, Boston, you're going to be 11 degrees above average at 73. Cleveland, 80 degrees, 85 in Louisville, Montgomery, 88. And over the next several days, temperatures stay fairly mild. It drops down here in New York City to 64 on Sunday, but 70s into the weekend. 80s in Richmond, same in Charlotte. Nashville looking pretty good, then cooling off by Sunday at 69 degrees. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right, Al, thank you. Coming up next, we've all heard about taking a daily aspirin for heart health. So why is an influential group now telling certain adults, don't do it? Dr. Natalie Azar is here with everything we need to know right after this. Radio Andy.
Hey, it's Andy Cohen. Join me on Andy Cohen Live, where it's just you, me, and some of the world's biggest celebrities.
Paris Hilton.
Chelsea Handler.
Seth Rogen.
I love you, Miley. Thank you so much.
You can listen to Andy Cohen Live at home or anywhere you are. No car required. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
We are back with new health guidance that is shaking up years of advice regarding taking a daily dose of aspirin.
Yeah, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force is now saying most adults should not take aspirin to prevent first heart attacks or strokes. Evidence apparently showing that the potential risks of a daily dose cancel out the benefits.
Joining us with more is NBC News medical contributor Dr. Natalie Azar. Dr. Azar, I know people at home are going like, what are you talking about? We've been told that taking the aspirin is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So tell us what the news is this morning and why.
So basically what the task force is saying is that for most adults, taking an aspirin to prevent a first heart attack or stroke, that the benefit of that is probably offset by the increased risk of bleeding, and that clinicians need to be really selective about who they choose for aspirin prophylaxis. And specifically, they say, like, take a look at the guidelines. They say if you're 60 or older, you should not start aspirin to prevent, again, a primary event, a heart attack or stroke. If, however, you're in between, you're in the ages 40 to 59, and you have risk factors for heart disease, and by the way, they also use or endorse the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology calculator tool for 10-year probability, all of that goes into it, that you might consider doing aspirin prophylaxis. And finally, and most importantly, one very, very important message, if you're taking aspirin right now, number one, don't stop without talking to your doctor. Number two, if you're taking it to prevent a second event, meaning secondary prevention, you've had a heart attack, stroke, or stent, you stay on aspirin.
So you said if you have the risk factors, talk to your doctor. What are the risk factors?
So these are all that we've become very familiar with, right? We have hypertension, hyperlipidemia, diabetes.
What's hyperlipidemia?
High cholesterol.
Okay, thank you.
Diabetes, pre-diabetes, family history, age, and smoking. Those are risk factors. What can you do about those risk factors? Yeah. Well, you can certainly very aggressively medically manage all of those conditions. Diet, exercise, stopping smoking, all of that stuff, losing weight goes a long way. About 80% of events, heart attack and stroke, can be prevented by lifestyle changes.
Wow. All right, Dr. Azar, thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thanks for clearing it up.
Coming up, our friend Jimmy Fallon, who woke up early. He's going to come visit us here at Studio 1A and tell us about two fun new projects. He's bringing along a special guest who we're probably going to all fall in love with. Coming up, your 8 o'clock hour.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating.
So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.